This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The Port of Milwaukee announced this week that the wind turbine that supplies energy to the port's administration building has been paying dividends to the city. In less than a year of operation, the turbine shifted electrical costs at the port by almost $15,000. In fact, the electrical utility actually paid the port for the surplus energy it produced. This news is likely music to the ears of former Colorado Governor Bill Ritter. Ritter is now the director for the Center for the New Energy Economy at Colorado State University, and he's in Wisconsin this week as the keynote speaker at the Renew Energy Policy Summit in Madison. Speaking by phone with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz, Ritter talked about how energy issues first emerged as a priority in his political career.
I was a candidate for governor in 2005, 2006. I'd been a prosecutor. I was the elected district attorney of Denver the prior 12 years and had been in the trenches most of my time before that, but I paid attention to energy issues. I'm off of a small farm in eastern Arapahoe County in Colorado, and I understood this intersection between rural Colorado and the importance of thinking about alternative and renewable sources of energy. And so I gathered a team around me to really investigate this, and as I campaigned for office, I was convinced that this was an important way for us to move Colorado forward in the 21st century. And it was really campaigning that happened, that where it first happened. And then in office, I signed, 57 different clean energy bills. So it really became a pillar of our agenda.
Does Colorado rise to the top in this realm?
So there's a variety of ways to measure it, and the answer is yes. In every sort of survey that you looked at, we were one of the top, you know, two or three or four states for a variety of measures. We have one of the most aggressive renewable energy standards in America. It's 30% renewable by 2020. We have a variety of ways to sort of incentivize utilities to cooperate and participate in that, but also a variety of ways to try and help middle-income Coloradans and lower-income Coloradans be a part of what we called our new energy economy. We also, looked at financing as an important part of this. We have, a few different things that Wisconsin has going on. You know, they have a renewable energy standard that they're going to meet, but a lot of that power comes from outside the state. And so our renewable energy generation is from inside the state, and we found a way to incentivize that. We also found a way to incentivize the build-out of transmission from places where, for instance, in Colorado, there was good wind but not transmission. So we said, how do we get this done? We put a rate cap in place to protect ratepayers because there's always naysayers saying it's just going to be too expensive. And actually, our cost of power relative to the rest of America has gotten cheaper as we push this very aggressive clean energy agenda. We had a day last April, Susan, where our primary investor-owned utility got 57% of all its energy that it provided Colorado customers from wind alone. And like I said, the cost of wind has gone down dramatically because of the broad deployment. In addition to that, we wound up attracting manufacturing companies, both on the wind and the solar side, research and development companies, both on the private and the government side. And so we really have this ecosystem built around advanced energy or clean energy, and really trying to say, listen, it can be domestic, it can be clean, it can help us create jobs, and we can protect ratepayers in the process.
Can you tell me what the formula is to incentivize the production of that renewable energy inside the state?
Well, in renewable, the renewable energy standard was not the incentive. It's more of a push on the part of government to put utilities into it. And people say, well, we don't like renewable energy standards because they're a mandate. People, will talk about government mandates. Quite frankly, the entire energy sector has been heavily regulated since its inception. And so to say something like a renewable energy standard is a mandate and we should do away with it, I think it's just wrong, because actually everything in energy is based on regulation. It is not the operation of the free market, and it's that way by intention. And so we have a renewable energy standard that says 30%, and suddenly we see the utility opposed the first renewable energy standard in Colorado. It was 10% by 2015, very similar to Wisconsin's. So the voters went to the ballot, right, and they passed it at the ballot. The utility approved of our doubling of the standard in 2007, and again tripling of the standard, the original standard, to 20. It was 30% by 2020, tripling of that standard. We did that in 2010, and they did it because they saw, A, that they could get there, B, that they could hold rates in check. They were still going to get their regulated return, and it made consumers happy. People in Colorado like clean power. And so for a variety of reasons, it made a lot of sense for the utility to be on board to go to a 30% renewable energy standard. So that was the big push-in. But in place in the legislation, we put in a rate cap so that the utility couldn't say, well, this is just too expensive. We're going to have this much. And we need more, return on investment. We need more guarantee. And so we said, hey, listen, you can have a 2% rate cap. We said that when we passed the 20% by 2020. We didn't have to change the rate cap to go to 30% by 2020.
There must have been some obstacles along the way.
The first one, the 10% by 2015, the first time that we put in place a renewable energy standard in Colorado, that did go to a vote of the people. Mm-hmm. When I became governor, in the first 100 days, we doubled that standard. So that was passed in the legislature. And my last year as governor, we tripled the standard. We also did that legislatively.
Okay.
So the hurdles along the way, the coal industry has not been very enamored with such an aggressive buildup of renewables, in part because they look at it as their market share going away. Mm-hmm. We are actually a coal-producing state with coal mining jobs. That was an important, issue for us, an important thing for us to sort of figure out how to deal with. Also, we went to net metering, where people could build out their own systems and then put power onto the grid and get paid for it. There were some hurdles to that. There's something that we've done in Colorado that I think Wisconsin should very much look at, because it actually is such a free market idea. It says that, a company can come in and own the solar installation on top of your roof. And basically, they are leasing that space from you, that they are agreeing to pay you an amount for leasing that space. And what they're going to do is reduce your energy that you're paying for on the grid. And it all works out. It pencils out. And last year, over 80% of the rooftops in Colorado that installed solar were leased systems. So it's a great... it's a great economic development driver. The companies that are doing it here are happy with the system here. I would say the same is probably true in California and Arizona, mm-hmm. where there are third-party lease systems. And so, out of 57 bills, right, there's a lot of different things that we did to try and create this ecosystem. And part of what I'm doing at Colorado State University is working with states to try and help them look at how we can do this state by state by state.
Okay, so that's the mission of the Center for the New Energy Economy.
Yeah, and it's not, I've spent some time talking about renewables, but it's about renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about energy efficiency. It's about a variety of ways for us to look at, industrial and residential energy consumption and reduce that. Our center is hosting an entire day symposium on transmission in the Rocky Mountain West, so it's really asking questions about how to build out transmission to be part of a sort of the 21st century new energy economy. And then I've actually done a variety of things that really are about ensuring that we're extracting natural gas in an environmentally sound way. We transitioned a gigawatt of coal from coal to natural gas by 2017. So it's important that as an extraction state, that we're doing that extraction in the right way. And so really, when we talk about a new energy economy, we're talking about advanced energy technologies. We're talking about the research and development end of it, the financing end of it. But really, how do we push this whole agenda forward at the state level so that a state can look at their energy economy and say, we're really about the 21st century. And we're tying domestic energy use with environmental issues, economic development, and equity for ratepayers.
This is sort of a broad question, but, speaking of, you're talking about using the best technology to extract safely, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So are there areas in technology where the technology needs to be advanced in order to make it as safe as it can be?
Well, I think there's a lot that's happening in advancing technologies around natural gas. The two most important things for states right now are to ensure that they have a solid set of rules that really you know, require the most sort of up-to-date thinking on the engineering systems for drilling and drilling casement and for hydraulic fracturing. And then they're using the most up-to-date rules either for sort of water treatment or wastewater treatment as processed water and fracking fluids come back out of the ground, that they also capture methane at the wellhead, and that, you know, in their disposal, that they're not allowing for leakage or for methane, fugitive methanes to escape. Those are all important parts of this. They're all actually solvable problems. Some of them still require additional technical advancements to sort of take us to the next place, but there's a lot that's already in place that allows us to do this in an environmentally sound way.
When you took on the mission, did you feel that you had a broadly engaged population?
This is a really interesting question, and I think this is an important question across the United States. I think the public liked it and got it, but I still had a difficult time politically with it, even with public support, because it doesn't have the sort of intensity, the political intensity that other issues might, like the economy or job creation. And in fact, you know, part of the way our opponents would attack us was to say we were going to lose jobs, that we were actually doing things that were going to cause us to lose jobs. And at a time where you're in this economic downturn, that was really an awful thing to have said about you. But our clean energy and clean tech sector actually wound up being the only sector that grew during the worst recession since the Great Depression in Colorado. We're second in the country for overall solar jobs. We're number one per capita. We're one of the best states for employment for clean energy jobs overall, again. And we're just a state with 5.5 million people. Mm-hmm. So the people of Colorado like that, but where leadership was required here was to do everything you could to get the sort of, you know, all of the people that mattered or that could get you to a majority in the House, majority in the Senate, and get it to my desk. And that was not easy. Even with significant popular support for the agenda, there were still a variety of people within the Capitol who opposed the agenda and were very tough on it.
So is Colorado ahead of the EPA in regulating itself?
Yeah, actually, we are. And it was a big fight for me as governor between 2007 and 2008. And really, it was early 2009 when I signed the new set of rules into law. It was a bit of a battle, but they were really, at the time, the best set of rules. My successor, Governor Hickenlooper, has actually been a part of, I think, updating those rules in a very positive way. And I think Colorado has some of the best rules. When the EPA put in place, they proposed rules for what we call green well completion, Colorado producers have to do nothing new because of what we've already required them to do since 2009.
I was going to ask, what does it take to turn this kind of program into a reality, an engaged legislature or an inspired governor? And
listen, yeah. I think there are a lot of ways to make the case for this. There's a group of people who are out there talking about climate change and its tie back to how we consume and produce energy. And quite frankly, there's growing sentiments that where Americans believe in the existence of climate change, and they believe that our activity is tied to climate change. And so I think there's that. There's another crowd of people who are looking at this and saying there is a tremendous business case to be made. And part of it is just for our own sort of domestic, job creation. But also, there's a global competition here. And the United States could win that, or we could be second or third or further down the list, unless we're really going to make a case for developing clean energy technology and then trying to deploy that globally. So really, you can look at it from, you know, an environmental perspective. You can look at it from a job creation perspective, and you actually get to the same place. It's the right thing to do. And I think there's a lot of reasons why this should not be a partisan issue. It's been tragically made a partisan issue in many places in the country. And, you know, I'm hoping to make the case in Wisconsin when I come there that it won't be or shouldn't be.
Former Colorado Governor Bill Ritter is the director for the Center for the New Energy Economy at Colorado State University. He's the keynote speaker for today's Renew Energy Policy Summit in Madison. He spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz. You can find more information from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. A pioneering Milwaukee website hopes to take its next big step in 2013. We will learn more next on Lake Effect.